Geekville Radio.
I was hoping for Kenobi. Why are you here?
Hello, hello, boys and girls, geeks and geekettes. This is Seth, a.k.a. Xandrax, the mayor of Geekville, and the host of Geekville Radio, flying the Tramp Freighter solo here. It is May the 4th. Yes, the unofficial, official Star Wars Day, whatever you want to call it. May the 4th be with you. We'll have more shows dropping soon that'll be dealing with Star Wars, but I wanted to release something today, naturally, because of it being such a special day. And this has been a heck of a week to be a Star Wars fan. We got... Season 7 of The Clone Wars, and we'll get to that in a minute. The Rise of Skywalker is now on Disney Plus, as well as the Mandalorian documentary for the first season. The extras of the DVD and Blu-ray of Rise of Skywalker, they're also on Disney Plus if you haven't checked. And we also got some news, so we're going to hit some news here first before we dive into Clone Wars Season 7. And once again, we'll go into greater detail in later episodes, but Lucasfilm announced a pair of projects being made for Star Wars, one of which is that Taika Waititi will be co-writing and directing a new untitled Star Wars movie. He will be joined by Academy Award-nominated screenwriter Christy Wilson-Cairns. Waititi is probably best known for directing Thor Ragnarok in 2017. He also has Star Wars experience because he directed the season finale of The Mandalorian for Disney Plus last year. As for Christy Wilson-Cairns, she was nominated for Academy Award for her work in co-writing the war drama 1917. That's the movie that looks like it's all done in one shot, similar to Birdman. But she also wrote several episodes of the Showtime hit horror series Penny Dreadful. No release date has been given yet. Obviously, in this current global pandemic, any release date might get delayed anyway. And this is probably something that probably hasn't even gone into pre-production yet. It may still need to be written and such. Also, as of yet, no premise for the film has been revealed either, though given the recent announcement of the High Republic era by Disney, it's very possible, it's my hunch, that this film will take place during that time. So we'll get something that's probably a few hundred years before the classic era. Curious what you folks would like to see in a Taika Waititi-helmed Star Wars film. I mean, I'm sure it will probably have a good dose of humor. I mean, Thor Ragnarok, I think, proved that he would be a good fit for Star Wars even before The Mandalorian. Because, of course, he was also IG-11 in The Mandalorian. So he has played characters in Star Wars on top of directing episodes. Now, over on the TV end, Leslie Headland will be developing a Star Wars series, as if it wasn't enough that we got all this stuff released and announced, but a new Star Wars TV series, Lair on Disney Plus, run by Leslie Headland. Variety actually reported it last week, but Disney confirmed the news today. Headland may be best known for her play and feature film Bachelorette. She also helped develop the series Russian Doll for Netflix. And this will be the fourth Star Wars series added to the Disney Plus lineup. Because, I mean, if it was going to be one of the existing series, I'm sure they would have announced that it was one of the existing series. So now we have The Mandalorian, we have the Cassian Andor series, and, of course, the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. So this will be the fourth one. No premise was revealed other than the series will look to be female-focused. I can understand why people might look and see four different series being developed pretty much at the same time. And I can understand that because I've said before, way back in 2012 when it was announced that Disney had purchased Lucasfilm, I was like, if you think George Lucas milked Star Wars, you haven't seen nothing yet. And you know, we've gotten already five movies and now four TV shows as well as two animated series just in the last 8 years. But looking at it on the other hand, I mean, most of these series that get released on Disney Plus, and a lot of these streaming series, since they don't have a certain number of episodes for a season to fill, at least I don't think they do. I'm certainly open to correction. But we have these shows that are 8, 10, maybe 13 episode seasons, but then we don't have these filler episodes because they're being released on a platform that one can simply binge and catch up on an entire series over a weekend. So you can cut out some of the filler episodes. You don't have to even worry about making those, and you can trim things down to only having episodes that count. Now, the reason I keep bringing this up, one of the reasons I go back to that is now, conceivably, 52 weeks out of the year, well, it's 52 divided by 4. I guess that would be 12 and change, maybe 13 and change. Disney Plus could conceivably have a separate Star Wars series each season, you know, and they can just rotate around. They don't have to release them at the same time. In fact, it would probably be counterproductive to release them at the same time. You know, that'd be a lot of stuff to watch if you had to watch The Mandalorian and the Cash and Andor series and the Obi-Wan Kenobi series and this series. My hunch, this is totally guessing, I don't know, but my hunch is this is probably going to be some sort of adaptation of the Dr. Aphra character from the comics that has been a hit in the Marvel comics. There's an audio series going on with her now, I think, for Audible. But I also couldn't help but think if it was going to be maybe a young Captain Phasma. I think seeing Captain Phasma outside of the armor and kind of seeing her origin would be an interesting story in its own right. Me personally, I like to see that. I don't know how well that would work as female-centric because, the First Order is pretty much a bunch of evil dudes. So I don't know how that would fit. But I think a Dr. Aphra series might work. Or maybe even something before that, you know, prequel era. You know, maybe what Mon Mothma was doing before the Rebellion formed or something to that effect. But what I'm getting at is now conceivably Disney could have one story for every few months. You know, they release The Mandalorian, let that go through. Then we have the Cash and Andor series. Then we could have the Obi-Wan series. Then we could have this series. And then by the time that runs out, we might be ready for season 3 of The Mandalorian again. Again, with COVID-19 running around and everybody being holed up like a bunch of sardines, depending on the state that you live in, it may be some time before we see this happen. So it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, it's Star Wars. I will check it out, and I will give you an honest opinion on what I see. So I really haven't read the Dr. Aphra comics. I'm aware of the character, but to give another comic analogy, to me, she's kind of like a Scarlet Witch or Cloak and Dagger or something like that, where I don't have comics specifically with the character proper in it. Like I never read Cloak and Dagger. I never read Vision and Scarlet Witch, but I've read Avengers comics and I've read Spider-Man comics where he mingles with those characters. So it's like they're there, but I don't really read the character extensively in her own proper series. So maybe I should. I mean, I got the Marvel Unlimited subscription. It cost me nothing extra to look that character up, but let us know what you think. I'm curious to hear what you'd like to see as far as a female-centric Star Wars series. Let us know, Geekville Radio, on all the Facebook and Twitter social media, Geekville Radio on the web. You can reply to any of our pages here. And let's move on to the meat of this episode, for me at least, and hopefully it is for you as well, and that's the long-awaited 7th season of Clone Wars. And seeing new Clone Wars after all these years, I mean, it is literally a dream come true. And unfortunately, it was one of the casualties of the Lucasfilm buyout. I'd been saying for years that when Clone Wars hits on all cylinders, it's as Star Wars as you can get. I mean, even if you hate the prequels, there's a lot to like about Clone Wars. We got the return of Darth Maul. We got the Mandalorian drama with Satine and Bo-Katan. We got background on Order 66. We got stuff with young Boba Fett. We got young Saw Gerrera, who then went on to go and be in Rogue One. A lot of background, a lot of additional stuff that really fleshes out the stuff we thought we would see on the big screen. And because really, there's no way you could tell all these stories on the big screen. And whether that was by design or whether it was something George Lucas thought of later, I don't know. It's really doesn't matter. I'm just thankful that they're there. My only real complaint about this final season is we didn't get a televised story on how Maul escaped from the clutches of Darth Sidious, from Palpatine. When we last saw Maul, I think it was season 5 in the series, he was being brutally tortured by Sidious via Force lightning. He and Savage Opress, his brother, unquote, they battled him 2-on-1, and Sidious beat them both. He killed Savage and was just frying Darth Maul with Force lightning as the episode went to credits. I know that the story's in the Son of Dathomir comic, but it still would have been nice to see full-fledged episodes about it. But beggars can't be choosers. We know the gist of it. I'll have more to say later with the soon-to-be-released episodes, but I wanted to give you kind of my immediate reaction to the ending of Clone Wars. And the Bad Batch story, this had been released on the official Star Wars site with incomplete animation, so the story had been out there for a while. But still, it was nice to see a proper episode and story done to them. And one of the things I noticed about this, especially if you watch the stuff with the unfinished animations, is this was definitely current-level technology animation. I think there were a lot of shots in here that probably couldn't have been done in 2012 or 2013, whenever the episode was originally developed, by just some of the depths and a lot of the long camera shots and the sweeping passing of huge ships and such. So a lot of this, I think they did go back and reanimate from the ground up. Just my thought, I could be wrong. But still, it was nice to see that Special Forces-style group. I mean, this was G.I. Joe in space. At least that's how it came across to me, or maybe the Dirty Dozen, if you want an even more dated reference. But the leader of the Bad Batch, Hunter, it looked like he was modeled after Rambo, which I thought was kind of cool. Maybe it was just the headband, but we had the Martez sisters, or Ahsoka and the sisters, as I like to call it. We finally saw what Ahsoka was up to after leaving the Jedi Order. She accidentally hooked up with the Martez sisters around level 1313, which was supposed to be another crossover with a game that was in development at the time, along with Star Wars Underworld series. But those were also casualties of the Disney buyout. But it was nice to see her again and kind of her getting back on her feet, returning to the temple. And then the final four episodes, The Siege of Mandalore, this was mind-blowing. I mean, it was completely worthy of being a movie in its own right. And it was even presented differently because we didn't get the usual drum-heavy Star Wars theme that we would get on regular episodes. We got the straight-up John Williams' famous Star Wars score. We only got the Tom Kane voiceover for the first episode. Everything else, it just gave you the parts, gave you the episode title, and then hit the ground running from there. But this was absolutely awesome. I don't think I could give it anything less than a 9 out of 10, and that's coming from somebody who doesn't give 10 out of 10s because everything's open for improvement. But easily the best story arc, I think, of the entire series. Again, worthy of being its own movie. We got other perspective from some famous scenes in Revenge of the Sith because it was literally taking place at the same time as Episode 3 Revenge of the Sith was. We got a showdown between Maul and Ahsoka. We got nods to The Last Jedi. We got nods to Rogue One. And we even got a classic Darth Vader cameo. You know, what's not to like? We got the explanation of Order 66 because we knew Rex made it out because he is part of Rebels. And he even shows the scar in his head from where the chip was taken out. Here we actually show Ahsoka saving him. And the fact that he was able to mentally block it to an extent. I mean, he knew about Order 66 because Fives had told him in the previous season, season 6, but nobody believed Fives. And Fives eventually lost his life because of bringing Order 66 to attention. But nobody believed him, even though Rex wanted to. And with that Order 66 being given, I think that gave Rex enough mental blockage where he was fighting it as well as he could. That's why he didn't just simply gun down Ahsoka on sight. And, you know, Ahsoka saved him, and he essentially became a fugitive. And that led to a really awesome third act and final episode. Now, regarding the Darth Vader cameo that we got, the Star Destroyer that Ahsoka and Rex were on crashed, it looks like Ahsoka and Rex gave all of the clones a proper burial, and then Ahsoka essentially drops her lightsaber like she's giving up on being a Jedi once again. And then we get a scene that is clearly much later, whether it was that year or later years, really irrelevant, but the wreckage was still there. Darth Vader shows up, classic with the heavy breathing and the mask and cloak, and he finds Ahsoka's saber, walks off. So my personal belief is I think Vader arrived there because it was the last known location of Ahsoka. I think he went there fully intending to kill her, but he found her lightsaber, and just seeing that probably thought it was enough. Regarding Ahsoka and Anakin and Vader and Obi-Wan and the whole nine yards, as far as sensing them, whether they're alive or dead, it's just my thoughts. This isn't based on anything else, and I'm sure there's other people that think the same thing, but this is just my independent thought on the situation. I personally think that Ahsoka believed Anakin was dead, because when you see that episode of Rebels, when she finally figures it out and freaks out, I think she maybe wanted to think that he was alive somewhere, but as Obi-Wan explained in Return of the Jedi, Anakin ceased to be Anakin Skywalker and became Darth Vader. We now know that Sith Lords can mask their presence from the Jedi. So Ahsoka probably felt when she heard that exchange through the Force, the what have I done, too dangerous to be kept alive, blah, blah, blah. It's very possible that she came to the conclusion that Anakin died there because she couldn't sense anything after that. The man who was Anakin became Darth Vader. And I think it's a similar thing with Obi-Wan on Mustafar. I think Obi-Wan probably walked away because he thought he was leaving Anakin to die, and then just later realized that Anakin had survived. So that's just what I think. I think Ahsoka believed Anakin died. I think Vader probably could tell that Ahsoka hadn't been killed. He didn't feel the presence get snuffed out, but he came to investigate and was ready to drop the hammer himself. So those are my beliefs. Certainly correct me if you think I'm wrong. You can find us on Geekville Radio, and you can find us on the social media, Geekville Radio on Facebook and Twitter. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't like. Let us know what we can do better. Let us know if there's anything you liked about May the 4th. You can find us on the podcatcher of your choosing. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spotify. You name it, we're there. Just do a search for Geekville Radio, and you will find most, if not all, of the shows in our library. And you can certainly find and subscribe to all of our shows at geekvilleradio.com. You'll see a section for each channel or each show there. So please check us out if you wish, if you liked what you heard. We'll be back sooner rather than later. Probably have a few guests on to talk Star Wars and Clone Wars and May the 4th. And with that, may the Force be with you, and we will talk to you folks again very soon.
Geekville Radio is not sponsored or endorsed by any product or company unless specifically stated. The views expressed by the hosts and or guests are purely their own and do not represent the views of GeekvilleRadio.com, A1-Wrestling.com, or any affiliates. Some media used on Geekville Radio is the respective copyright of its publishers, all rights reserved.